This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
He's dribbling the ball with everything on the line. He's driving down the pitch. He's facing price hikes and cuts past him. Carrier Contracts tries to block him. Oh, he leaves him in the dust. He's at the edge of the box. He cuts past the nonstop group chat trash talk. He clears on goal. He shoots. No! Unlimited data for $25 a month forever!
Visit your local Boost Mobile store today to get unlimited data with a price that never changes. Boost Mobile. After 30 GB, customers may experience lower speeds. Customers will pay $25 a month as long as they remain active on the Boost $25 unlimited plan.
Discover a spectacular island destination with crystal blue seas, endless sunshine, and the cool Bahamian breeze. Baja Mar, located in Nassau, Bahamas, offers your choice of three luxury hotels, the richly refined Rosewood, the playfully hip SLS, and the stylishly modern Grand Hyatt. With over 45 restaurants, bars, and lounges, Baja Mar serves up delicious dining from world-renowned chefs like Daniel Boulud and Marcus Samuelson, nightlife venues like the new John Batiste Jazz Club, and the Caribbean's most luxurious casino. At Baja Mar, you'll find every pleasure under the sun and one-of-a-kind experiences for the entire family, like Baja Bay, our 15-acre lush tropical water park, interactive wildlife experiences, including our daily flamingo parade, world-class golf, tennis, spa, and so much more. Visit BajaMar.com today and discover a vacation destination where memories are made for a lifetime. Baja Mar, life spectacular.
Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast.
Let's talk about the way we live today. And we mean all of us as a society, as a group. Based on one little story we did and three things to know today, this psychiatrist, and he's a Gen Xer, saying it's not, we don't miss the 70s or the 80s. You don't really miss the 80s and 90s, any of those times. What you miss is the feeling of being in the moment and unreachable and not so overly notified of everything. What you miss is life before this.
What you miss, phone. What you miss is the space in between things.
Yeah. God, that's what's not well there. Put, Murphy. Yeah. Well put.
Mm-hmm. The slowness of those lives.
Don't we all feel it?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think we do. And even if you weren't, alive during that time, I mean, I'm sure millennials feel the same way. I mean, you're only talking about a really small snapshot of the generation mm-hmm. over the last 15 years that actually has had the constant interruption, constant, contact. Maybe you could even shrink that to 10. I mean, it's really only been in the post-smartphone, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, that age,
right,
which you're talking 2012, 2013, where that really began to really start to mm-hmm. take off. Mm-hmm. But
you have to really self-regulate, and I don't know if we're wired to be that way or we're just wired to be reactive. When it feels like this is the way we live, you feel like you're stuck in it.
Well, don't they say there are kind of weird little dopamine releases, even though it's stressful to stay on your phone? It's like these weird little releases that your brain does that keep you, honestly, that's where they say these algorithms or however you say it.
Algorithms. I've never heard algorithms.
The algorithms are.
Because it's all of them.
Right, yeah. It's all the algorithms.
Yeah.
Are designed to keep you engaged. And so, they already know the psychology behind it, so obviously we're wired to do that. So yes, you're right. I think it's just
self-regulate.
Difficult. It's just as difficult probably to pull yourself away from that as it is anything else that you are doing too much of in your life. Drinking, whatever.
It's the shoulds. So perfect example is where we are today. So we came back from vacation. We were gone mid-July, and we came back to work, to life, to the schedule, to the constant notifications and being pulled on a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. and it feels like a long week, and it was only a few days. And I say that because going from vacation where, look, we filled the time, but it wasn't that. It wasn't work. It wasn't emails and this person needing this and this person needing that and always something on. There were a couple of times this week where I felt very overwhelmed by what would be my normal schedule. For instance, that night that I canceled yoga, Murph, I don't ever cancel yoga because it's one of the things that centers me and makes me feel better in our overly stimulated world.
Yeah.
But it was also, I would have to get in the car and get back in traffic to go to yoga. Mm-hmm. And I was home. I was in shorts and a t-shirt standing there going, you know what? I want to cook. And so I canceled yoga and I stood in the kitchen and I cooked. And it just felt so good to just do that. And
good.
Another thing that this psychiatrist says, not being bombarded with constant news and notifications of what we're missing, being unreachable when away from home is what we're missing, but also hobbies or doing regular things without having to turn them into content. If you feel like you're always, you know, if you feel like, oh, well, I did this great thing and maybe I should share it. That's not something that happened when we were growing up.
Yeah. On
it
my
happened
vacation,
in the moment and it happened in the moment.
On vacation, I was sharing my daily photo dump. You know, here's what I did today.
Yeah.
And
what part of your brain? It's like we're wired that that's the way that it has to be, but it doesn't have to be.
We
choose it.
This is kind of related, but when Sammy and I were in Chicago, we went to the Bean, you know, that mirrored, it's called the
Loved your pictures.
Some kind of cloud something. But it's like everybody's around it. Everybody's taking 8,000 pictures. We were doing that, and Sammy and I were just taking pictures of this. And it's like, yeah, well, I'll just delete the ones I don't want later on at the hotel. And I was like, you know, there was a time where you got 24 chances at this, and you didn't see them right away. You had to wait an hour or a week.
In fact, that was beautiful because not only did you have to wait – once you picked them up 2 weeks later, you had a brand new moment with yourself reliving
that. It was
a
fond memory. Not an instant memory.
Another reason it's so funny to go, you know, look at the historicals on things like that and realize that there was a genuine excitement about 1 hour photo finishing. It was so much faster than sending it off for 7 days and getting pictures back. And that's a bygone, you know, time. But there's a difference, I think, in the ability to take all the pictures. That's fantastic. I love that. I love being able to capture every moment. And if I don't want to delete, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that stresses me out about that. I do see what you're saying, though, Jody, on the share part. The moment that you feel compelled to, this is another thing that you've got to do.
So that's really what it is. You are in society, but you still are in society.
Yeah, and you can. There's nothing wrong with sharing, but I think it's the difference in the mental trigger of, I've got to do this. I've got it. Because the more I gotta and the shoulds,
The shoulds drain you.
Yeah.
It just pulls on you. I'm not trying to bring up something emotional, and I will not get emotional, but the other day I was thinking while I was online and having one of those, what did I pick this up for? Like, if you're trying to manage 3 and 4 things at one time, you're authenticating your passwords, whatever it may be. We came back from being on vacation and I had to reconnect at work and such. And, you know, that drains my brain more than creativity. Technical stuff wears me out because it's not my lane, if you will. I was doing all that stuff, and just to get on to start doing my work, I had to do 6 steps. I was so tired, I thought, my dad would have hated this life. Mm-hmm. My dad died in 1989. Mm-hmm. Never had a cell phone. I don't think he ever flew on an airplane. This life that we live now with texting, I would have loved to have had that. It brings, you know, the technology brings us a lot of advantages and benefits, but it also drains us. We are constantly overloaded, which is not good for the mind and the heart and the soul. And he's somebody that is with me all the time, sort of, you know, I don't talk about him a lot, but he would have hated that. Yeah. He would have hated it. And I'm glad for him that he didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, because at least his life was more peaceful, you know.
That makes me think.
When he would get up, one more thing, when he would get home from work, he would have a busy work day. He worked at a plant and he was with people all day. He would go out on our back porch and sit in a rocking chair. That's what he did because that was the way.
Because he could.
Because he could. And that's he even knew to self-care to do that when he got home.
Yeah.
He didn't pick up a phone.
Well, that makes me think of two things. One, you're right. The technology is, it's better. I would not choose the past over today because there are too many good things about what we have today that are, you know, so much better. And I think we forget your phone actually is equipped to give you the privacy that you want if you need it when you want it. You know, there are do not disturb settings. I think every smartphone maker understands now how to make that part of the lifestyle. And you know what? You can turn off notifications.
Yeah.
So it's only as out of control as we let it be because we're still totally in control of it, you know, on our phone.
You can block people.
Yeah. The second thing that I would say is my dad, I think about my dad and my grandfather, and this shows you different, you know, ways of thinking. My dad, who passed away 5 years ago, he was that baby boomer generation born in the 1940s, and he, the first time he got a digital camera, he was in love with that. He loved not being restricted on the amount of photos that he could take. Yeah. And you know that, Jody, from being around him. That's every family gathering, every everything. He would shoot picture after picture. That was his thing. And so if he shot 200 pictures and he could then go home and look through them later.
He would.
He loved it, you know. If I think about my grandfather, who passed away in the 70s, his mind was that inventive kind of mind. He's the kind of, I really wish I'd have known him as an adult, because he was always thinking, he was always drawing out ideas. He was a natural creator, and he would love the present here right now. He would probably actually know how to tackle and make it balanced. He would be the one, you know, troubleshooting that kind of thing. And even my grandmother, who lived to be 97 years old, you know, totally embraced her computer and the immediate connectivity. But she also, I mean, she was really old school. When she was done with the computer, she turned it off. It wasn't just like walk away and let it go to sleep. She turned it off.
Sure. Does your mom still turn her phone off, Sam?
She silences it because it's actually that she forgets to turn it back to audio, because when she's at work, she silences it with the kids. You know, and then when she gets home, she forgets to turn it back on. So there was a lot of times you call and you don't get her. And then 3 days later, hey, you just called me? It's like, no, that was 3 days ago. But sure.
Yeah, let's talk.
That surprises me. Her, by the way, she's 87 next week. She'll have a birthday. The fact that she's been able to keep up, you know, with all of this stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a certain amount of a person that's social enough that you it's wonderful. And look, there is a loneliness epidemic in our country. So whatever connects you, connection is connection.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I was going to say is it's seeping into every part of our lives. It is the epidemic, if you will, being sort of addicted to technology, being sort of addicted to feeling like you always have to be on. Another story that we did this week earlier in the week in Three Things to Know Today was that even tattoo artists are seeing that it gets in the way. What they would love is for you to put your device down completely and leave it. Don't even bring it, because they're having to stop their work. And people who are getting tattoos are constantly, they're not used to being
still
downtime.
Yeah.
And they're reaching for their devices the whole time. And it's like, as soon as you move, I've messed up. And so they constantly have to say, please don't move. Please don't move. Please don't grab your device. So it seeps into every single industry. You know, how many times have we seen people behind customers, not all, but like in work and in life, in retail, like just, you know, looking at something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're working, maybe they're not. But with a nation of people just staring at a screen.
Well, you get in an elevator, it's what people automatically go to. But you're talking about two different things that create the same kind of stress. One is the constant need that I have to fill every moment.
Yeah.
But the one that you originally, that you started this podcast with, about with notifications and interruptions and those kinds of things that, you know, call our attention and that we don't know how to do the downtime.
Or you're just reactive to it.
Yeah. Since I've switched back to iPhone, and I think that Apple does a great job with a couple of different things. They're very much about understanding how things are today. And, excuse me, some people have, you know, FOMO that you send a text message and then you don't hear back. And then you start wondering, well, oh my God, what are they doing? Why am I not hearing back? And that kind of thing. But, you know, you can actually set your iPhone to say it'll share your profile setup if you need it to. And the profile, I mean, is your sound profile. If you're not accepting messages right now, or if your phone is silenced, it will tell the other person that.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
And so, you know,
I'm not accepting messages right now.
Well, and that's, again, that's where I go back to the technology itself is not bad. We just have to learn how to use it. And I love that it's continuing to evolve, that there's an acknowledgement that this is going to be a problem if we don't. If the only ability you had to silence notifications was on off, that would be a horrible solution. You know, you need to be able to be selective. When you're at work, you need work notifications, or when you're at home, or maybe when you're asleep at night. Like, I've got our phone set up that, you know, there's a list of 7 people who can call and my phone will ring at night. Jody, you would like to know you're one of them.
I think I'm number one, although all I have to do is tap you and you're right
but,
there.
You know, our daughters, Sam, you're actually one of those.
All right. Yeah.
I knew you were wondering if you're one of the people.
But I think that that's one of those where, but again, This is the crazy part of it. I laugh thinking about this. You actually have to somehow find the time to learn how to do those settings to configure your phone the way that you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind go of to fun. Here and then go down to here and then go down to here. And go. It's like,
Right. But it's there, you know?
Yeah. Look, we've all felt it. You know, we in this life, in this world, with these devices, we've all felt those moments where it's pulling you unnaturally. Like, there's no reason. There's no reason for you to grab it at a red light. There's no reason for you to grab it just when somebody's walking out of the room and they're coming right back. But we are naturally wired that way. We're getting naturally wired that way, and we have to be intentional about, let me do something else, let me breathe.
Mm-hmm. I have, this is kind of related to it, but I have discovered that I have sort of a phone anxiety now. Mm-hmm. That, like when I go to bed, I put it on silent. I also have it set up to ring just, you know, for all the kids.
Oh, are we on your,
I will add you now because I really need to add Murphy.
For technical reasons.
Not a slight against you, Jerry. If there's an emergency,
he wants to hear from me
Murphy's
at 2 in the
one calling. Yeah. But like I have it on a stand at night, silent over there.
Very good. Going
to bed. But
Great.
It's like while I'm in the middle of falling asleep, if I hear the phone go,
ding.
No, not ding.
Oh, it's, vibrate.
I instantly tense up. And it's like, I don't check it. I've gotten to the point of don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But it there's instantly, I don't know if it's the Pavlov thing or what, but it's like, if I hear it vibrate, it's like, somebody needs me. What is it? Should I check it? No,
right.
You're not going to check it. Go to sleep.
It's one of the reasons I'm so grateful that this generation is the mental health generation. And how could they not be? They were born into this tech anxiety. They were born into it, like born into this is what life is. And that's why they say that so many young adults are very interested in life in the 70s and the 80s, and they're interested in going backwards into Polaroid cameras, and they're interested in vinyl and CDs because they want to know a simpler way to enjoy the things that we all enjoy, and just with different vehicles. We had different vehicles in the past.
Yeah, I think that every generation thinks that the generation that preceded them was a little more dialed back, might have been a little more relaxed, might have been, you know, a little bit more easy. My grandmother used to say that. She probably was actually very correct about that. And when she was growing up in the 1920s and the 30s, life was pretty simple. Now, there are, of course, a lot of not so great things.
Of course.
Health care, all the other things
back.
That, you know, medicine, those all those things that were
World
not
wars.
Crazy advanced. I mean, look at me. Before 1922, which is when insulin was discovered, if I'd have been alive before then, I wouldn't have been alive for very long. You know what I mean? And so that's just another example of how.
I was told I would have died in childbirth.
But, you know.
I was told that. But, I don't know if it's true.
But I do think that, you know, I mean, even though that there are some things that I'm such a media freak and YouTube I love so much that anything that you want to see historically really lives. It lives on in a better way today than it did even 20 or 25 years ago because you've got access to it now. You see what I'm saying? It's like in the 90s, for example, you know, you were either going to buy a VHS tape somewhere to go watch something that you wanted to, or you had to wait for it to actually come on one of the cable channels or somebody doing some retro special. You couldn't just go out and do your own, you know, searching and experience music and video and TV and entertainment and all of those things, you know, the way that we do now. And I think that gives every generation this sort of fantasy escape, you know, to experience what they believe life would have been at that time.
Sure.
Back to, again, the interruption thing. I didn't get to tell you this yet, Jody, because you'd gone out of town to hang out with your cousins, you know, Candace and Crystal. And that actually was a good, speaking of detaching, you know, I mean, that was a good detachment
for you. Just a
little
couple of days away with the girls. We went to bed early. We shopped, we visited, we laughed, ate, drank.
And so, you know, one day I realized that I was trying to fill too much of my time like I usually do, because for me, it's not only notifications, it's task lists, which then go into my calendar. So all of a sudden the things that you create then start calling back to you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I decided that I wanted to try something I hadn't done before, because I do these daily meditations with the Daily Calm, and they're 10 minutes and they're really easy to do. And they're helpful when you stick to them. But I was reading about people who will do 30 minutes or an hour. Some people will do 8 hours in a row. And then, of course, there are retreats. There are people that go on these meditation retreats, which are, and I can't even imagine how awesome that probably is. But I decided, let me try the 30. Can I actually sit still long enough to do 30 minutes with the meditation? And I'd use the Calm app, and it was the beach sounds. And there's this little bell tolling, a very subtle kind of a ding at the end of it that lets you know when you get to 30 minutes so that you're not sitting there anticipating, when's the bell coming?
That's me.
That's the way Sam would do it.
And I found myself, I mean, I was doing the breathing and I was anchoring in the breathing and I started wondering, I wonder how far I am into this. And then I would, but then I would pull myself back to center because that's what you do. I mean, that's all meditation is. You're going to spend,
it's a practice.
Even if you do it for 8 hours, you're going to still drift and bring your attention back to center. But what was crazy, and I can only guess that maybe this was 15 minutes into it or so, and I'm sitting up straight, feet on the ground, you know, arms on the, my arms on the arms of the chair, because you know, you can meditate really however you want to, but truly it's supposed to be a kind of an alertness where you're upright. And I nodded off at one point. I caught it. It was like that thing I do when we're flying where all of a sudden, oh, wait, I was falling asleep. And it, so I guess I was so relaxed. But then, but when I, you know, would finally refocus again, then I knew the bell hadn't gone off yet. So I stayed and I lasted the full 30 minutes.
I'm so glad for you.
And what's insane about that, you know, you're not supposed to. With meditation, you're not supposed to anticipate an outcome because, again, it's not about any of that. All of those things are the problem.
Yeah.
It's all about the present. But it was crazy how, I mean, just relaxed. I was not stressed after that to go on about the thing. I wasn't, there weren't worries, you know, if I was having a stressful thought, I caught the stressful thought rather than it just kind of like piling on your back, letting your muscles tense up. You know how that goes? So are you surprised I did 30 minutes?
I'm not surprised that you did it. I'm really glad that you attempted it. And I think you should continue to try that when you have the extra time. Because you do the 10 minutes, what, in the mornings, early before we get started, or whenever you feel like you need it. I think you should continue to try 30 minutes. Because if 10 minutes really benefits you on the regular, 30 minutes is going to be great for your own awareness. The truth be told, I don't meditate. I do yoga, but when you're talking about it, just the whole being in the presence, it shines a light on the fact that most things that stress us out are things that happened in the past or things that we're anticipating.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
where stress is.
You are so
If you're in the moment, you're in the moment. Mm-hmm. And hopefully nothing is tugging on you one way or the other. The things that stress me out or things I'm thinking about from yesterday that disappointed me or whatever, or the things that I know are coming up and I'm watching the clock. So that's where it is, being in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's what this psychiatrist was saying. Being unreachable when away from home is something that we miss. Not being bombarded by constant news and notifications. And another thing that's on that was on the list, it's a whole other podcast, though, for another day, trusting what you saw and heard.
We're
living in a time where, is that real?
I can't anymore. Mm, yeah.
Can't know for sure. Or you think you know.
Yeah.
So I guess the takeaway here is you have to self-regulate. When you start to feel a certain way because of technology pulling on you, do you need to let it make you feel a certain way? And do you really need to go into it? Because, yes, we have to use technology. It is here to stay.
I didn't even think about it until you said it just now, since this has all been about really notifications being the things that stress you out. But what you were just describing with yoga and we were talking about with meditation is a notification actually takes you out of the present moment. Ironically, because it's designed to call your attention to something you need
to be doing in the present, but it takes you out. Absolutely, because it's something in the future.
Yeah, right.
So careful how many notifications you allow in.
Yeah.
Correct?
Or go into your phone and set the ones up. You know, give yourself that peace, you know, away from that. You don't have to know about every single thing.
No.
Let me set that notification up now.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.
Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it.
No, I got it.
Seriously, I insist.
I insisted first.
Oh, don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No!
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, it's Cal Penn. I'm inviting you to join the best-sounding book club you've ever heard with my podcast, Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart Audiobook Club. Every episode, I nerd out with amazing guests and dive into the best new audiobooks available on Audible. It's the book club for your ears. Listen to Earsay, the Audible and iHeart Audiobook Club on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.